All right, Sunday morning, 6/9/24, we're going to look at a teaching called The Battle Stance. All right, Proverbs 13:15. I'm going to read it out of the Amplified so you don't have to turn there. I'll wait till he gets done.
Battle what?
Stance, S-T-A-N-C-E. Proverbs 13:15, out of the Amplified, good understanding wins favor, but the way of the transgressor is hard, like barren dry soil or the impassable swamp. My thoughts. I know to most of us the battle stance seems to be hard, but in the light of what I just shared concerning what is coming and is already here, those that chose the path of least resistance, that would be the transgressor, may seem good at first, but it leads to the path that leads to hell, and it doesn't get any harder than that. I believe that the hardened will just get more hardened, and the ones that follow the Lord will just get more and more yielded to Him and His will. It is a hard process, I can attest to it, but in the end, it reaps rewards that we cannot even imagine at this point. Eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, or entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love Him. I encourage you to not be timid. Let the Lord lead you in what you say. Do we really know if we will ever see that person again? We are instructed to snatch them out of the fire. If they get their feelings hurt, who cares? Sometimes they need an aquavelva moment. We are in a shock and awe campaign, and as Christians, we must boldly speak as we are led to do so. All right, I want to read another one out of the Amplified. This is Matthew 7:13. I think it's 14 also, but anyway. Enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate, and spacious and broad is the way that leads away to destruction, and many are those who are entering through it. But the gate is narrow, contracted by pressure, and the way is straightened and compressed that leads away to life, and few are those who find it. Those who haven't taken the jab are the minority. You know that, right? There are a few that take the battle stance. The Apostle Paul, aside from Jesus Christ, probably was in the battle stance 24 hours a day. It was through his experiences in the battle stance position that he wrote the battle stance formula in Ephesians 6. He didn't just have the revelation, didn't put up with the flak. He learned it because of the things that he had to suffer. All right, we're going to go look at a few things. Ephesians 6. You're reading that again. Well, when you get it, I'll quit reading it, okay? I follow the Holy Spirit and the scriptures that He gives me to bring. And so Lord, I've kind of wore that one out. Can I have another one? No, we got to buzz the tower as many times we have to buzz it to get it to sink in. All right, Ephesians 6. 10, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord, not in your might, but in the power of His might. It's not your might. I think if we finally get that part of it, that'll lighten the load terribly, wouldn't it? Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. So you're putting on His armor, not your armor. What's your armor? The armor of the flesh, right? For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God. Here we go again. God's armor. Not the armor of the flesh, God's armor. That ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand, to stand. Stand therefore. Having your loins girded about with truth. Well, that's the Word of God. That's your mind. You got the Word. You got the Word on your mind when you stand in His armor. and having on the breastplate of righteousness, knowing who you are and saying, you ain't got any right to do this or be here. And I'm standing. And your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Take the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for the saints. This is a revelation. God gave Paul the mystery of the gospel. The mystery. And that's what he's unfolded through the epistles. That's how we become who we need to be in God. Okay. There's a lot of scriptures, not real long, but quite a few. Oh, 2 Corinthians 12. I want y'all to, I wish, well, anyway, it doesn't matter. 2 Corinthians 12. I'm going to start with 16. Let me wait a minute, make sure I'm in the right place. All right. But be it so, I did not burden you. Nevertheless, being crafty, I caught you with guile. Did I make a gain of you by any of them whom I sent unto you? I desired Titus, and with him I sent a brother. Did Titus make a gain of you? Walked we not in the same spirit? Walked we not in the same steps? Again, thank ye that we excuse ourselves unto you. We speak before God in Christ, but we do all things, dearly beloved, for your edifying. For I fear lest when I come, I shall not find you such as I would, and that I shall be found unto you such as ye would not, lest there be debates, envyings, wrath, strifes, backbitings, whisperings, swellings, tumults, and lest when I come again, my God will humble me among you, and that I shall bewail many which have sinned already and have not repented of the uncleanness and fornication, lasciviousness which they have committed. And I think I'm reading. Let me go back. Hey, I've got to at least have one time that I get it wrong here. Break my record. 12. I think I put second and it's first. Let me look. No. Anyway. All right, I need your help, Danny.
Well, are you sure it wasn't verse 6 and not 16?
Well, it could be. Well, we'll read 6 and we'll see. Right here, it's talking about Paul's thorn in the flesh here.
Yeah.
Lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. This isn't it. I know it isn't, because I had the word perils there. Well, maybe that's it. 2 Corinthians 11? Okay. That makes more sense. Sorry, guys. All right. Now, let's start with 16 there. I say again, let no man think me a fool, if otherwise yet a fool, receive me, that I may boast myself a little. Yeah, that's it. That which I speak it not after the Lord, but as it were foolishly in this confident boasting, seeing that many glory after the flesh, I will glory also. For ye suffer fools gladly, seeing ye yourselves are wise. For ye suffer if a man bring you into bondage, if a man devour you, if a man take of you, if a man exalt himself, if a man smite you on the face. I speak concerning reproach as though we had been weak. Howbeit, wheresoever any is bold, I speak foolishly, I am also bold. Are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they the seed of Abraham? So am I. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more, in labors more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequent, in death oft. Of the Jews, five times received I 40 stripes, save one. Thrice was I beaten with rods. Once was I stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I've been in the deep, in journeys often, in perils in waters, in perils of robbers, in perils by mine own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, and watchings often, in hunger and thirst, and fastings often, and cold and nakedness, beside those things that are without, that which cometh unto me daily, the care of all the churches. Who is weak? I'm not weak. Who is offended, and I burn not? If I must needs glory, I will glory of the things which concern my infirmities. The God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which is blessed forever, knoweth that I lie not. In Damascus, the governor under Artus the king kept the city of the Damascenes with a garrison, desiring to apprehend me. And through a window in a basket was I let down by the wall and escaped his hands. Let me write that down. Perils there means danger. So, Paul, now you know how, why God gave him the formula for the battle stance. Perils, danger, everywhere you went. Okay, Romans 5. Verse 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand. Grace wherein we stand. And rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. Hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. I want you to key in on right here, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand. That's key. Your battle stance. You need to call on the grace of God every breath you breathe. That's the way it's been for me lately. Everything I do, everywhere I go, thank you, God, I have the grace to do this. For someone like Paul to go through what he went through, he had a lot of grace. He called upon it heavily all the time. God's not asking you to do anything in your flesh, but he gives us grace, his grace. All right. Acts chapter 4. This is how we take the battle grace, y'all. The battle stance, y'all, is by grace, God's grace. Acts 4, right out of the day of Pentecost, we're just right out of the gate. They had to stand in God's grace. Right here, verse 1. And as they spake unto the people, the priest and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them, being grieved that they taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection from the dead. And they laid hands on them and put them in hold until the next day, for it was now eventide. Howbeit, many of them which heard the word believed, and the number of the men were about 5,000. And it came to pass on the morrow that their rulers and elders and scribes and Annas the high priest and Caiaphas and John and Alexander and as many as were of the kindred of the high priest were gathered together at Jerusalem. This is so guard, y'all. And when they had set them in the midst, they asked, by what power or by what name hath ye done this? So their letter of the law. And if it don't happen the way they think it ought to, they threw them in jail because someone got healed. That's how far from the power of God they had strayed. Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, by what means he's made whole. Now this man, you know, had never walked. Be it known unto you all, and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builder, or set at naught of you builders, which is become the head of the corner. See, they rejected Jesus, but he's the head of the corner. And neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Now, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled, and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. And beholding the man which was healed standing with them, they could say nothing against it. But when they had commanded them to go aside out of the council, they conferred among themselves, saying, "What shall we do to these men? For that indeed a notable miracle hath been done by them is manifest to all them that dwell in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it. But that it spread no farther among the people, let us straitly threaten them, that they speak henceforth to no man in this name." And they called them and commanded them not to speak at all, nor teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said unto them, "Rather it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge ye. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard." So when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding nothing how they might punish them because of the people. For all men glorified God for that which was done, for the man was above 40 years old on whom the miracle of healing was showed. You think the authorities are going to come out when you've gathered a crowd and everybody's getting healed? The news anchors are going to show up in their trucks and come out and film it? How are they going to receive it? I'm telling you, y'all, everywhere we go, we need to be proclaiming, "Great grace is upon me." Because we got to be ready wherever we go when we have an opportunity. People are dying. More than you know. All right. Grace here. The divine influence upon the heart and its reflection in the life. Can you see this in Acts 4? They were bold speaking before those leaders when Peter was the one that was the denier. You know what I'm saying? But when the grace of God come upon him, he bought, at Pentecost, he preached and got 3,000 saved. And then they stepped up this time and got 5,000 saved. Bold. No more running for the foxholes. Being bold. I'm not saying do it in your own flesh. I'm saying, Lord, by the grace of God, we'll interact with who you need us to interact with today. Whoever comes across our path, they don't know you, or whatever the case may be. I'm always looking for a hook. Fisher of men, somewhere to put my hook in. All right. God does not expect you to do anything without his grace. So just make it a habit, a new word in your vocabulary. Everything you do, Lord, thank you, I do this by the grace of God. Because we need his empowerment. All right. A few more scriptures. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Verse 1. And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in the demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. You see that grace? I think we're going to be amazed at the things that come out of our mouths. I mean, we've all experienced that, where you have a divine encounter and you know it was God. That God put that together and he gave you words to say that made a difference. All right, 1 Corinthians 16, 13. I don't think that's okay. It's just a minute. All right. It says here, watch ye, stand fast in faith, quit you like men and be strong. This stance is not a stance that we relax. I think quit's a stance we have to be on duty 24/7. All right, Galatians 5:1. You ought to know this one. It's a song. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. What is liberty? Walking in the Spirit and staying out of the flesh. That's liberty. Got it? Okay, 1 Peter chapter 5. Starting at verse 6 there. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that you may he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Jesus Christ, after he hath suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. So what we do in the name of the Lord. This isn't just us going about trying to do stuff. That's just not even what it's about. Many wear themselves out trying to stand and ultimately fall. We need the grace wherein we stand. Those that call upon the grace will have the divine empowerment come upon them to do the impossible. I mean, didn't they do the impossible? First thing out of the box after Pentecost, they go to the temple to pray, and there's a lame man sitting there. And he wants some money. And he said, I don't have any money, but such as I have, give I thee. In the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. Took him by the hand and pulled him up. And he started walking, leaping, praising God. You know, these people turned the world upside down. The grace of God turned the world upside down. They didn't do it in their own steam. They didn't have any steam. They all just forsook him and fled, remember? When the heat got in the kitchen, they ran out of the kitchen. Yeah, but the grace of God made all the difference. All right, Hebrews 12. I encourage you with this today, as we're all going through. We're all doing some fire walking. Hebrews 12:1. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that's set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. If ye have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin, and ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children, my son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. This is training, y'all. Well, in our case, it's our training's being tested. We've passed through the training. We've already been taught. We've passed that test. But now they're testing our training. The Lord's testing our training to see if we've learned what we need to learn. If you endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if he be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then you are bastards and not sons. Furthermore, we've had fathers of our flesh which corrected us. We gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? For they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure, but he for our profit. The Lord's told us, I'm allowing you to go through these things because I want to make sure down the road you don't fail. that we might be partakers of his holiness. Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruits of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. And he exhorts here, wherefore lift up the hands which hang down and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather not be healed. In other words, don't let what you're going through just decapitate you from doing anything. You're so grieved and worn down, everything, you just slug around like, you know what I'm saying? He's wanting us to be strong. Stand strong. Don't let anybody know you're going through anything. They'll look at you and say, man, they got it all together, don't they? And they may be going through hell on earth, but they ain't going to let you know it. Danny and I were talking about Brother Hagin. Brother Hagin, the reason, the Lord showed me this is the reason Brother Hagin never, most of his whole life, one time he was at a service and he jumped over a pew and he broke his elbow. The Lord told him to go into the doctor and he had to have surgery on it. But other than him being on the deathbed and doctors coming to the house when he was 15 to 17, he never went to a doctor. Never took an aspirin, said he didn't need it. Brother Hagin was the type that when something was happening to him, he never said a word. He said, and if something was going on, I would never tell it. No one would ever know. That's how he got the reputation. He never was sick. He never had to go to the doctor. He never had to take medicine. Didn't have to do any of it. Why? Because when he was under whatever he was under, he kept that mouth shut. He didn't walk around like a slaw. He walked like, best day of my life. He maintained his confession. And you know, he got healed on a deathbed from an organic blood disease and heart problems and all these things. But he tells in his books there were times where he would be attacked in the middle of the night. He's on a trip. So, what did he do? One time he just started laughing. The devil said, what are you laughing about? Because he said, you're not going to get healed this time. He said, Mr. Devil, I know I ain't going to get healed this time. I already am healed. The devil left. See, we have a decision to make. Are we going to, wherefore, lift up the hands which hang down the feeble knees and make straight paths for your feet? I'm well, I'm good, I'm whole, I'm on my way. The devil doesn't get to say, all right? Mm-mm. You call the shots. Jesus has given you the authority to call the shots. No, I don't want any of that. You can take it on down the road. I mean, really? You think, is it that simple? I think so. I think when you finally get that attitude, I mean, if you got some neighbor that's doing something you don't like and you get tired of them and you send them packing, you finally just put up with it so much, you finally just say, like Paul, oh, revere Paul, and the viper and all that. How do you think he got there? I read it to you, perils often, and perils here, and perils there, and this and that, and all the time, 24/7, something. How did he get there? Practicing. He practiced day and night. To the point he could shake the viper off. All right. Let me see where I was. Have you ever heard a parent say this before spanking their child? This is going to hurt me more than it's going to hurt you. I believe God's saying the same thing. He'd rather love on us, but he sees down the road and he knows what we need. He knows the things that plague humanity. He knows each person and their quirks and their this and that and things that could cause them to stumble down the road. And so now he's working those things out. Now that's love. That's a parent's love for his children. So let's quit grieving so much, okay? Didn't he told us, Danny had a word. I want you to turn your mourning into dancing. Well, you know what? That's going to be an act of your will. When you feel like something the cat drug up, and you go in your bathroom or your closet and you start jumping around saying, I am turning my mourning into dancing. You know, in other words, it's up to you. You can act like Sally Sad Sack, or you can get up and you can walk by faith. Most people won't do that unless they receive the answer. Okay, moving on. I believe God, being love, doesn't want to let us go through hard things. He would rather love on us, but he is allowing us to learn hard things that will preserve us later. Isn't that showing us the most love of all? You'll never stumble, you'll never fall. Because he took the time to train you and prepare you. This is what the battle stance will do for you. We're going to have to take a hardcore stance and say, nope, nope. Don't let them evil thoughts in on you in any form or fashion. No, I don't believe I want any of that today. It's like you turn away the salesman, used to be salesman, come to the door. No, I don't want any of that. I know what you're selling, but I don't want it. Quit letting him sell you something. If he ruins your day, he sold you something. Fear. All right. I'm going to read you a few people that had to do that very thing right here. Hebrews 11, verse 5 and 6. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. By faith, Noah was warned of God, of things not seen as yet. Moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house. Probably got laughed at for the 120 years it took him. Or the 120 years, the warning was a 120-year warning. Prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. These people took a battle stance. And there's controversial about if it rained or not, but the point was, the people didn't listen. And they all died. But not Noah, not knowing his family. See which ones, I didn't write them all down, I'm not going to do them all. By faith, Abraham, who was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for inheritance, obeyed and went out, not knowing whither he went. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. Well, we're children of Abraham by faith. He's father of faith. All right, 11 and 12. Through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore sprang there even of one, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude, as the sand which is by the seashore innumerable. 23 and 24. By faith Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents, because they saw he was a proper child, and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. By faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. And we know what happened with him. I encourage you today to remain in the battle stance. God's grace will see you through, and just like those in the Faith Hall of Fame received their good end, so will you. They were written here for our example. David slew the giant. Their 3 Hebrew children went into the fire, but they didn't burn, or they didn't have the smell of smoke on them. Paul shook off the viper and suffered no harm. Daniel spent the night with the pride of hungry lions, but they didn't come near him. We have a long legacy of faith in the Word of God. They were just normal men that dared to believe God. They thought, well, we're not going to bow. We'd burn before we'd bow. Well, because they didn't bow, they didn't burn. And we're not going to burn either, but we're not going to bow. All right? Let's keep our battle stance. All right.